Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best amongst exalted devotees, text number 8. Indriyani manak prana, atma dharma dhritira mati, ri shri steja smiti satyam, yasya nasyanti janmana, Indriyani, the senses, Manaha, the mind, Prana, the life air, Atma, the body, Dharma, religion, Driti, patience, Mati, intelligence, Ri, shyness, Stri, opulence, Teja, strength, Smriti, memory, Satyam, truthfulness, Yasya, of which lusty desires, Nashanti, are vanquished, Janmana, from the very beginning of birth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamam Rid Rogam, materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formal disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires because it is only due to each such desires that one must accept repeated birth and death. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because the material desires, therefore, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. The only remedy is to take to devotional service, which begins when one is free from all material desires. Anyabhilasita shunya. Anyabhilasita means material desire, and shunya means free from. The spirit soul has spiritual activities and spiritual desires, as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahai tu ki twayi. Unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, one must be free from all material desires. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as anyabhilasita shunyam. As soon as one has material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. Then all the paraphernalia of one's life, including one's senses, body, religion, patience, and intelligence, are deviated from one's original Krishna consciousness. As soon as one has material desires, one cannot properly use his senses, intelligence, mind, and so on, for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayavadi philosophers want to become impersonal, senseless, and mindless, but that is not possible. The living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. These should be purified, however, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. In every living entity, these propensities exist because he is a living entity. When materially contaminated, however, one is put into the hands of material misery. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. One wants to stop repeated birth and death, one must take to the devotional service of the Lord. Sarvopadi viniramuktam tatparadvena niramalam. Rishikesha Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti Uchite. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there has two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Indriyani manat prana atma dharma dhritiramati ri shri stejas mitira satyam yasya nasyanti janmana. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, one's functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhutak sanatana manakshastran indriyani prakriti stani karshiti. That the living entities in this material world, they're my fragmental parts, and they're all eternal. But due to jiva bhuta, being conditioned by the material nature, they're struggling with the six senses, which include the mind. Hare Krishna. Living entity is actually apart from the material energy, but he has the capacity to desire by his free will. And when he desires in terms of Krishna, when he desires to use his intelligence, his faith, mind, refuge, senses, all fixed in the Supreme, then one gradually comes in contact with Krishna. In other words, when Krishna, he's conscious of our desires, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So our desire can be either material or spiritual. And when our desires are spiritual, then Krishna reveals himself. And when our desires are material, then Krishna puts us into a particular mode of nature, according to which desire we choose. Purusha prakriti sohi punta prakriti janguna karna guna sangosya sat asat yoni janmisu. The living entities, they carry their different, thus follow the ways of life, enjoying the three modes. This is due to their association with those modes, and thus they meet with both good and evil amongst the various species of life. Now, when we are in contact with Krishna and we become spiritualized, it's just like when you put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it becomes just like fire. Similarly, when we're in contact with Krishna, then our senses, our mind, our intelligence, they all become spiritualized, and therefore they act just like Krishna. And Krishna has 64 qualities, of which the living entity has 50. In minute quantity. And when the living entity is factually in the fire of Krishna consciousness, when the living entity, the soul, is actually conscious of Krishna, then his activities as an instrument for Krishna are exactly like Krishna. Just like the iron, when it's put into the fire, wherever you touch it, it'll act like fire. So when the soul is actually in contact with Krishna, and Krishna takes charge of his activities, then all his activities are spiritualized. Because Krishna is present. And wherever Krishna is present, the entire spiritual world is there. And if the entire world, the spiritual world is there, certainly everything becomes spiritual. Just like Advaita Acharya told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he met him in Navadvip, that wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Or as Vidura, or Maharaj Yudhisthira told Maharaj Vidura, when he arrived back after pilgrimage, after 32 years, he said, Bhavan vidas bhagavatas tirta bhutak swayam vivo tirta kurvanti tirtani swantak stena katabritaha. That saints like yourself are verily holy places of pilgrimage. Because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. As Krishna is not different from his name, form, quality, and pastimes, so one who is actually aware of Krishna, then wherever they go, they carry the entire spiritual world with them. Or as Prabhupada once wrote to a Kurukul student, just like one who sent him, Prabhupada sent him, the Gurukul student sent Prabhupada some arithmetic exercises. So Prabhupada said, that's very good, you're learning that 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, and 2 plus 3 is equal to 5. But you should also know that Krishna plus anywhere is equal to Vrindavan. So if you always remember Krishna, then you'll always be in Vrindavan. Please learn that math. So that's the math we're supposed to learn. To put Krishna wherever we are. And in order to do that, anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma iravritam. The material nature is working in such a way is that as soon as we become interested in doing something outside of pleasing Krishna, then the material nature will present something to us for our possible enjoyment. Whether it be danam, janam, sundarim, whatever else, even kavitam vaj girisha kamaye, even liberation, mama janmani janmanishvare. Maya will present something to us to allure us, yogas chalati manasa. Generally it fits into two categories, women and wealth. Rarely someone like comes along like Bard Maharaj and becomes infatuated with a deer. Although it was probably a very pretty deer, but generally we wouldn't expect a great emperor like Bard Maharaj to fall in love with a deer cub. On the other hand, Maya has come in many attractive ways, especially women and wealth, power, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means soft bed. So that's the general aspirations for any materialist, to get enough gold to have very soft beds and have soft people lying on them. So this is the that's how Maya captures. Prabhupada said that the elephant, big strong elephant, king of the jungle, practically speaking. And in order to capture him, they put one female elephant in a pit. So the male elephant sees the female elephant, becomes attracted, and falls into the pit. He gets captured. Otherwise, it's very difficult to capture an elephant, but with a female elephant, it becomes very easy. Similarly, in the material world, being attracted to the objects of the senses, Maya, as soon as she sees that, she at once captures the living entity. Krishna bhaihir mukha bhogavanchitare nikatastha tare japitiyadare. As soon as the living entity turns his face away from Krishna, even for a moment, then Maya is standing right side of, and then immediately slaps one down. Or, diayato vishayam pumsam sangaste shupajayate, sangas sanjayate kama krodo bajayate. While contemplating the objects of the senses, person becomes attached. And from such attachment, lust develops. From lust comes anger, from anger comes bewilderment, comes forgetfulness, comes loss of intelligence, and then one acts in the material consciousness. Or as Prabhupada writes at the end of the 15th chapter, the first fall down of the living entity is what? Does anyone know? What's the first fall down of the living entity? Well, you don't know what our false. No, that comes a little later. most important thing that one has to surmount is weakness of the heart. We can remember Krishna and think, well, Krishna is a big botheration. It'd be nice if he wasn't there. I like to do this. Unfortunately, he's a super soul. Maybe during Chaturmasya, he'll go to sleep and he won't be able to see. Got to wait another month or so and everything. Then I'll give it a try. First of all, down is caused by the desire to lord over the material nature. Contemplating the objects of the senses, person develops attachment for them. So that attachment, let me control this material energy in some way. And generally speaking, people, they read books or they get to try to get some money, somehow or another, figure out a way of controlling material nature. Thus one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In other words, if we want to become a competitive to Krishna, Vayam dvitiya abhinivesha tasyad ishada vitasya viparyo smriti. If we want to become Krishna's competitor, then we reverse roles with Krishna. There's no question of serving Krishna and being his competitor. If you have a master and your aim is who owns everything in the household, and your aim is to get rid of the master, it's not a very good service relationship with the master. So when we become attached to the objects of the senses and want to enjoy them, then that's our first cause of fall down. Thus one gives up the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. Then we make plans for our own sensual service. The second weakness of the heart is that one increases the propensity to lord it over material nature. Thus he becomes attached to matter and the possession of matter. So not only it becomes an idea, but one actually gets or acquires some material nature, material energy, or whatever material energy we have, and then one thinks it's mine. And even Krishna would come personally and says, can you use it for me? And we say, I'm sorry, like Shatrujit. Shatrujit was a great devotee of the sun god. And as a result of their familial relationship, the sun god gave Shatrujit two things. Does anyone know what he gave Shatrujit? Named. And what else? Something else even more valuable than the jewel. No one knows. Well, the sun god gave Satyajit Satyabhama. And who's Satyabhama? Does anyone know who Satyabhama in Krishna Leela is? What's that? Good guess. Yes, she's Srimati Radharani. When Srimati Radharani and Vishakha, they were entering into the river Jamuna to commit suicide, then the sun god came and took her to the spirit, to the heavenly planets, saved her. And at that time she had one jewel, the Shaimantaka jewel, which Balaram had given her. Actually, I think it was Madhu Mangal had given her through Balaram, through Krishna. And so the sun god got not only Srimati Radharani, but he also got this jewel, Kastuba jewel, which was given to Shatrujit, and along with Satyabhama, who's actually Radharani in Krishna Leela, but she takes on the mood of a Satyabhama, who is the contrary wife in Dwarka, because Radharani can't be Radharani in Dwarka, she's Satyabhama. And who is Rukmini in Dwarka? Who's Rukmini in her Vrindavan Leela? Chandravali. Yes. So she's a submissive. In Krishna Leela, in Vrindavan Leela, the highest is the Vama, partially Vama, or contrary gopi, Radharani. And the secondary gopi, not as prominent as Chandravali, who is a Dakshin, right-wing gopi, who's always submissive to Krishna. But as a married lady, best thing is completely submissive, Rukmini. And secondary is the contrary one, in one sense, Radharani, in her form of Satyabhama. In any case, one day, Satyajit decided to come to Dwarka, and he was displaying his opulence in the form of this jewel. But the jewel was so fulgent that everyone, when Satyajit entered into Dwarka, that he was the sun god. They didn't think it was unusual because many demigods came and visited Krishna in Dwarka, so they thought, now the sun god is coming to visit Krishna in Dwarka. So Krishna was sitting there playing chess, or whatever it was, and they informed Krishna that the sun god has come to visit you. Krishna said, actually, that's not the sun god, that's Satyajit, with the jewel that the sun god gave him. Satyajit, though, was so materialistic that he wouldn't even visit Krishna. Instead, he put the jewel in a temple because the jewel was giving 84 mounds of gold every day. It's like 150 pounds of gold a day, which you could probably buy, you know, a few ice cream cones with. Maybe a couple of pizzas also. In any case, eventually Krishna saw Satyajit, and he requested Satyajit to give the jewel to Ugrasena, give the best of everything to the emperor. But Satyajit refused. Meanwhile, Prasena, his brother, this is an example of someone who, Krishna asks for something, and then you refuse to do what he says. Not a good idea. When the proprietor of everything asks you to do something, you say, no way. You know you're going to get into trouble. Big trouble. So we know that Prasena, Satyajit's brother, took the jewel one day to show the opulence of the family and went into the forest wearing the jewel, riding on a horse. But one lion attacked the horse, and Satyajit killed the horse and Satyajit and took the jewel away. Jambavan, the king of the jungle, Lord Ramachandra's intimate associate in Ram Leela, king of the bears, came and found the lion and killed the lion, took away the jewel, and brought it back to his cave. Meanwhile, Satyajit started to spread a rumor throughout Dwarka that Krishna had killed his brother and stolen the Shyamantaka jewel. So Krishna didn't like his name being defamed like this. So he went to the forest looking for the Shyamantaka jewel. And there he found the dead horse and the dead Satyajit, and the jewel was missing. And he found tracks of the lion who had taken the jewel away and killed Satyajit and the horse, and found the dead lion. And then he traced the footprints to the cave of a mountain, and he entered into the mountain, leaving aside, outside, some of his wives, at least Rukmini, along with some of the elderly members of the Yadu dynasty. And he entered into the cave because it was a dark cave and they were all fearful. So 11 days passed. In the meantime, Krishna, he found the jewel in the cave. It was given to Jambavan's little child. And Krishna came, stood before the child, and the nurse started to scream, fearful that Krishna was going to take the jewel away. So Jambavan appeared, and there was a fight for 28 days and nights. pounding each other with sticks and rocks and their fists. Finally, Jambavan became tired after 28 days of night of being pounded by Krishna, and realized this is not an ordinary personality. He could fight with me, the strongest living entity in the universe, for 28 days a night, and I'm getting tired, and he seems pretty good. He seems ready to go another 28 days. So then he realized that this is actually my worshipful Lord, Lord Ramachandra, in the form of Krishna, and therefore he surrendered to Krishna. In any case, as the story goes on, Krishna explained this situation. Jambavan gave the jewel to Krishna. He gave his daughter, two daughters actually. Well, actually he gave the jewel to Jambavan, Jambavati. Jambavati was who in Krishna Leela? In Vrindavan Leela? Lalita. Lalita was so disturbed when Srimati Radharani tried to commit suicide that she jumped off Govardhan Hill, which is a lot higher than it is now. And on the way down, Jambavan happened to be passing by and caught her. So Jambavati was not a bear, by the way. She's Lalita in Krishna Leela. And then Jambavan gave Lalita to Krishna as one of his wives, or Jambavati. And Krishna came and gave the jewel back to Satyajit. And then Satyajit, being embarrassed, took it anyhow, then decided to give his daughter, Satyabhama, along with the jewel to Krishna. Krishna didn't accept the jewel. Satyajit kept it. And later on, there was a conspiracy to get the jewel for Krishna on the part of Satyadhanava, Akrura, and Kritavarma, and others. Shatadanva came into the to Satyajit's house, killed Satyajit, stole the jewel, fled. Krishna came back, chased after the killer of his father-in-law, and cut off his head. In the meantime, Satyajit had given the jewel to Akrura, because he didn't. Akrura kept it with him, but he left too when he found out Shatadanva had been killed. But Krishna called Akrura back. Akrura revealed that he actually had the jewel, and Krishna said, "You can keep it anyhow. You can keep it for now. In the future, Jambavati, when her son grows up, he'll be the lawful claimant of the jewel." So the point is, it's possible even to be requested directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give Krishna his own energy, and one may refuse and get into a whole lot of difficulty. So that's the situation of the living entity. He may contemplate the objects of the material existence, and then he may get it and become attached to it, and refuse to use it for Krishna's service, and become even further entangled. One thing to become attached to something you don't have. The other thing is to become so attached to something you actually possess that you could offer to Krishna, but you refuse to do so. So the problems of material existence are due to these weaknesses of heart. And that's our job, is to get free from these weaknesses of heart. This desire to control the material nature, and when we actually have possession of some part of the material nature, we have to become willing to utilize it in Krishna's service. Then we can become liberated. It's not enough to artificially renounce everything that we don't possess. It's much more important to utilize whatever we have and utilize it in Krishna's service. That's the greatest way of purifying our hearts. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, gachatnyapana avritim, jnana niruddha kalmashaha. Woman's faith, mind, refuge, intelligence are all fixed in the Supreme. One's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme. Then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge, thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. So it's more important to utilize things in Krishna service than simply to renounce them. Okay, any questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Krandraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.